With a 50% obesity rate in the U.S. and more unhealthy people than ever before, it is time to make America healthy. Welcome to Make America Healthy with Beth Shaw. If you're feeling tired, toxic, heavy, slow, or stressed, then keep listening. Beth and her expert guests are here to offer practical advice and share the tools you need to reclaim your physical, mental, and emotional health. Now, here is your host, Beth Shaw.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Make America Healthy. I hope you're having a healthy day and enjoying the summer. So have you ever thought about what is in the water that you're drinking? Because it's not just the water we're taking maybe out of the tap in our kitchen, but when we go into a restaurant, the ice that's in our beverages, the water that's used to make our coffee or our tea, the water you're showering with. Our bodies are made up of so much water, and we consume a lot of liquids, and sometimes what we're consuming is really not that good for us. So here at America, Make America Healthy, we're trying to just educate you best as possible on the many different things that you can do to take better care of your physical and mental health. And for many of us, that all starts with the fluids that we are putting in our bodies. And we all know that things like soda, excessive alcohol, too much caffeine are not good for us. But then if we stop and take it one step back and look at the water that was used to create those beverages, it becomes a little bit more concerning. So we have a very special guest today with us, an expert on clean water. And we'd like to introduce to the show Troy Rackley. And Troy and I met at the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Conference a few weeks ago, where I noticed he was carrying around a serious water filtration system in his backpack. And we got into a conversation, very passionate about the subject of water. There are many brands that I avoid. So I'm here today with Troy to educate you on how to take better care of your health, starting with the water that you're drinking. Troy, welcome to the show.
And thank you for having me, Beth. I'm glad to be here.
So I know that you graduated with a degree from Ohio University in industrial engineering, and you received an MBA in Australia. I also realized that you worked for some unhealthy companies, let's just say that, Coke, Pepsi, Nestle, Campbell Soup. And in 2008, I think you began your own entrepreneurial journey doing coaching and then morphing into water. So let's educate the listeners of Make America Healthy on what's going on with the water. Troy, let us know.
Okay, well, first and foremost, I'm very passionate about water, and most people that know me will call me a water snob. And sometimes when you know too much, of course, people will call you a snob. But when it comes to water in this country, and really in the world, it's one of those commodities that we take for granted. When people brush their teeth, they turn the water on, they leave it running while they're brushing. But because the infrastructure in this country is so old, what we got to look at is what the water's picking up in the pipes. Yeah, the water treatment plants can do as much as they can, but when it travels to the homes or to the restaurants or to the offices, it picks up things along the way because the infrastructure is corroded. We're using excessive chemicals. And just like you said in the opening, when people think about things that happen in restaurants, a lot of people assume that, you know, it was uncooked chicken or shellfish, why they got food poisoning. Well, we've identified over 32 million cases that were not food poisoning. It was actually from the water in a restaurant. You know, so the contaminants continue to swell simply because the infrastructure is old. And when we continue to use either chlorine, chloramines, monochloramines, we create these byproducts in the water lines that everything that's in water can be filtered out. And so what people have to understand is the municipality will test their water at their facility. But once it gets onto your property, it's your responsibility. You know, but what I always say is traveling to my property is not the same as testing it at the facility.
Right. Well, I will tell you, and I'm so glad that we met at the conference because I have been obsessed with water for years. For a long time, I've read that Nestle owns almost every single water company, bottled water company that there is, even if they come out under different names. Uh-huh. And that concerns me. I'll say that. I also have these little water strips that I bought on Amazon, and I will test the water anywhere that I'm residing, predominantly because as a spiritual practitioner, I like to keep my third eye open. Mm-hmm. And I know that they've been dumping fluoride into the water since after World War II. And I'm obsessed with keeping fluoride out of my body. I use fluoride-free toothpaste. I try not to eat foods that have fluoride in them. And believe me, there's a lot of food that has, even ice cream has fluoride in it, which kind of blows my mind. So I've been obsessed with water. I put water filtration systems under my kitchen sink so that I make sure that I'm cooking with clean water and drinking clean water. And then also I don't have to buy bottled water, which I know oftentimes is sitting out on the back of a truck somewhere in the sun or in a warehouse, and you don't really know what's in those bottles of water either. So I so much enjoyed our conversation. So happy to have you on the show. What's the deal with the fluoride to start with? Why put fluoride, which I can't find any real scientific information on why that should be good for us. Why are they putting fluoride in the water?
Well, I think to understand that one, I mean, it goes way back, like you said, to World War II. And I think because people were making the assumption that we weren't getting enough fluoride for our teeth, that the government decided, let's put it in the water. So then that way we don't have all this tooth decay, and especially with kids. And so they started adding it to the water. And because I think the Drinking Water Act in the United States has not been changed since 1992, nobody's even looking at it. You know, so I think because they started adding it, now they don't add it as much anymore. And you can, there's the standard is 2 milligrams per liter in the water from the city. And anything over that, they have to let the municipal, they have to let the people in the particular area know if it goes above that. They have a range of 2 to 4, but if it goes over 2, they're supposed to let you know. You know, so, and it's almost undetectable in a lot of areas. But it's the compound effect. Even if it's a little, the more you keep drinking it or putting it on your body or whatever, the compound effect, it adds up. You know, so that's why when we do our filtration systems, we make sure we take it out, you know, because of that compound effect. Yeah, a little becomes a lot over a period of time. But I think they did it specifically because, you know, whether it was the American Dental Association or someone told them that we're not getting enough fluoride either from our fruits and vegetables, we need to put it in the water so that we don't decay America's teeth.
Yeah, I laugh because I think if the government was that concerned about our health, we'd actually have less than a 50% obesity rate in the United States right now. Right. So that actually, I find that to be quite humorous. You ran the zip code of one of the properties that I live in and told me that I had a lot of arsenic in my water, a lot. How does that happen?
Actually, I don't know how it actually gets in there, but I think because the EPA has a standard, some other environmental groups have other standards, and obviously the other environmental groups are a lot more stringent. And unfortunately, even in the area that I live in, when I first moved here, the acceptable levels from the EPA was 60 ppm of arsenic. Well, now it's 80. So how does it go up? You know, so, but when you're making the standards, it makes it easy for you to say, well, we're within them because you have the power to keep changing them. I don't know why it was changed. Nobody can give me an honest answer to that. But my thing is control what you can control. I can't control, you know, their standards. What I can control is what goes in my body and what goes on my body. So as long as I know what's in it, then I know what I have to do to take it out.
So give us kind of an idea of, like, we all get our water from different sources. I mean, and you know, if you live closer to a mountain range, chances are your water is coming down from the mountains. if you're residing in the state of Florida. I assume it's coming from the water tables. I know where I spend a lot of time on Long Island, for years, there was a lot of chemical dumping into the ground. And I would imagine that leaches into the water tables. Other than the fact that the water is traveling through maybe old pipes and systems, where is our water really getting the most polluted?
I think it's twofold. I think it is the traveling system in terms of the pipes. But I think what people also don't understand is the runoff. You know, when you use as many pesticides and chemicals, you get airplanes flying over all the time. What goes up must come down. So when it goes down onto the ground and then it rains, you know, people might think, oh, it's spring water. But if that spring is being fulfilled by the rainwater running into it, all those contaminants that may either be in coming from the air that's now on the ground, now being flushed off, you know, so we're getting it from everywhere. We're getting it from the air. We're getting it from the groundwater, and we're getting it from our traveling infrastructure system. So we're getting hit at all ends, simply because back in the day, you could go to a spring and just scoop up and drink it. But now you've got these things they call the forever chemicals, the PFAS and PFOS, the things you see coming, the chemicals that come from the fire extinguishers and stuff like that. That's really prevalent now in the water system across the United States. You know, so I think because it's coming from so many different areas, that's why it's really hard to tackle this from a government perspective, because it's coming from so many different areas, whether it be from the air and from the runoff from the ground and the pesticides that we're using. And when you think about a farm who says, okay, well, we got to spray our crops. Well, when they spray that, they spray it onto the crops. And then what doesn't hit the crops hits the ground. So then when it rains, what's on the ground then either goes into the water table or goes to the stream. So we're just getting it at all ends.
So how long have you been studying water, and what kind of prompted you to do a deeper dive, especially after working for you know, these big corporate giants like Nestle and Coke and Pepsi and Campbell's Soup?
Well, the thing that inspired me was, as a young engineer at one of these organizations, I won't mention the name, I thought I was finding a huge cost-saving project, because I saw a 4-inch line going at 260 gallons a minute going down the drain, and I thought it was a big leak. And when I informed my manager, they all kind of laughed at me. They said, that's the reject water. And I didn't understand it at that time, because back at that time, I never thought anybody in the world would buy a bottle of water because of where the source was coming from. And so what they ended up telling me was, they told me, well, water's cheap. That's why we're doing it. And that infuriated me, because every time I see a woman in Africa walking 10 miles to get dirty water, I think about that pipe, to think, if we can waste 260 gallons a minute, 24/7, 365, but it's cheap, but somebody who's either bathing or drinking contaminated water would love to have some of that good water. It just infuriated me. And it just made me think, at some point in my career, I'm going to do something with water. And right around as soon as I started my entrepreneurial career after coaching, I got inspired by some technology that helped me be where I am today, that I can combat that. Now, granted, they're much larger than I am, but for those that want to do it differently and don't want to harm the environment, that don't want to waste any water, then that's what inspired me to do what we're doing.
Well, that's awesome. You have a lot of work to do. I only hope that business is awesome for you, and that we're educating more and more people about the importance of clean water. It's interesting. I have a friend that had breast cancer about 10 years ago and recently got diagnosed with Parkinson's. Mm. And she still doesn't have a clean water filter in her house. And every time I go over there, I'm like, hey, you need to get a water filter. And she's like, oh, we've got bottled water. It drives me crazy, to be honest with you, because I know that there are a lot of carcinogens in all of these chemicals that you mentioned. Can you tell us, like, what the top five chemicals, cancer-causing chemicals are that we might find in our water?
Well, I mean, chlorine will be one of them, you know, or that the chlorine family, and that really makes up about four. It's chlorines, chloramines, monochloramines. Those are three of the top ones that over time, the compound effect it says cancer. And then when you think about other things like trihalomethanes, that's another big one. It's called THHMs. And what that is that's when organic matter in the pipes meets up with a chemical. And sometimes when they're dosing the lines to kill the bacteria, and look, they have to do that. But when you go from one chemical to another, anybody who's ever been in a chemistry lab understands that there's sometimes you don't mix chemicals, but if you change a chemical in terms of your water treatment, there's always going to be a residual that was left in there. So that reacts with the next one and it reacts with the organic matter. So we start creating these different things. And so when we create those things, unfortunately, then we have to filter them out. But these tests for those types of things is very expensive. So most municipalities aren't doing it. But once again, they put the onus on us to say, well, when it leaves our plant, based on our water test, which is a similar test that you can get from one of the big box stores, then you have to take matters into your own hands. So what we make sure is that the heavy metals and the chemicals, they're all out of the water before we actually put it in your body or on your body. You know, because unfortunately, you just never know when they're about to make a change to the chemicals. And true enough, if you ever seen some neighborhoods where they have the fire hydrants running in the neighborhood, they do that to flush the line, but they have to flush that line until they get a chemical reading that say they got enough chlorine in the water that's going to kill the bacteria.
And, well, I have seen that happen in my own neighborhood here in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
Often. And you know, Florida is known for our bad water. So,
yes. So
tell us a little bit about bottled water. Now you shared a story about working for a large beverage manufacturer and the runoff water. Were they actually bottling this runoff water or were they just letting it go into the earth?
No, the runoff water is a reject water. That's the water that goes right down the drain and wasted.
You know, and I just got back from doing a fitness trade show in Las Vegas, and I know, and then the week before that, I was in Scottsdale, Arizona. I know that there are many states in the United States right now that are having huge drought issues. Mm-hmm. So the idea of just, you know, running off water, surprises and baffles me. I mean, can't they run that water somewhere else?
Well, the thing is it's the easy way out. And in my personal professional opinion, we're not really in a drought. We're in a management dilemma because in the United States, we recycle 4% of our water. In Israel, they recycle 96%.
Can you educate our listeners on what recycling water actually means?
Basically, taking whatever water you use, whether that's let's just say on a farm, where you could take the water that you're washing the cattle with, that water can be recleaned and repurposed, or it can go right down the drain. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people don't realize that there's a couple of states that are on toilet to tap. They're recycling toilet water.
I'm praying that Florida is not one of those states.
No. Florida is not one of those.
Can you tell us what states those are in case we have any listeners from a toilet to tap state?
One of them is one of the largest states on the West Coast. California is one of those.
Wow.
But I mean, and that's more information than anybody needs to know because there's
this information, I think the purpose of me doing Make America Healthy is to educate our listeners on things that perhaps they don't know so that they can make better healthy choices. Because I believe that with education comes the option to choose. Mm-hmm. And it is my personal goal through Make America Healthy, through my work for 25 years now with YogaFit, through the books that I've written, articles, presentations. My goal is just to educate as many people as possible on the different aspects and facets of health so that people can make healthier choices. And we don't know what we don't know. So, you know, give us all the information that you think we should know and then some that you think that we don't want to know, but we really need to know.
I Well, if you don't remember anything, remember this phrase, and I always tell people this. I usually end my conversation with this, is with what, when it comes to water and now air, just because it's clear does not mean it's clean.
And just because it's clear doesn't mean it's clean. I like that.
And the reason I say that is because when it comes to bacteria, cysts, and viruses, the naked eye will never see that. You know, so unfortunately, the things that are going to hurt you in water are the things that you'll never see, taste, or smell. So that's why, I mean, one of the best marketing companies out there with water is Brita. You know, they have Brita filters and refrigerators and stuff like that. And they do the commercials where they pour some ink or something in the water, and my God, it comes out clear. That still doesn't mean it's clean. You know, so I think what people have to understand is, you know, when you take out the bare minimum, and bottled water is one of the worst things, unfortunately, because the big three, their source for the water, even though some of them say it's mountain spring, it's this, that, it's tap water. They're just taking tap water, they're stripping it with a reverse osmosis system, and then they're adding minerals back into it to remineralize it. So when you look at a bottle and it says added minerals for taste, what happened to the original minerals that God put on this earth in the water that are supposed to be in there? Well, they got stripped out. So now we put man-made minerals in there, then we put it in a bottle, and then we sell it back to you. You know, so I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I'm just curious, are there any brands of bottled water that you would recommend or advocate for? Because I know there's bottled water, like when I was growing up, I didn't even know if there was bottled water. But I think, you know, within the past 20 years, it's become big because, like you said, water is cheap. But most of the bottled water brands, you know, are made by the soda companies. So to me, that's a little bit of a disconnect. Or some of the other companies, I'm not going to name any names now because I've named enough names, but you know, some of these other companies that own all the water are notorious for poisoning people over, you know, the history of those corporations. So are there any brands of bottled water that if you're at the airport or whatever, and you know, your choices are slim to none, what do you do?
Well, that's usually a dire strait situation, and I've had that. But if I'm in a dire strait situation, even though it's very expensive, but you get what you pay for, I'll buy Voss because it's in glass. Because 93% of all the bottled water in the world has microplastics in it. And that's a problem because that then gets into your body, and in certain parts of your body, it just packs in and stays. You know, so if I have to go, my the two that I would go with, if I'm going to go with glass, the number one would be Voss. If I had to drink bottled water, I would only drink Fiji.
Okay. Yeah. That's what Tony Robbins drinks too.
Yeah.
It's so interesting because when you and I met and you had this like backpack, there were three different filters in there. And you said when you, and when I travel in the state of Florida, I have a giant water thing that I'll fill up from my filter in my kitchen, and I will take my own water with me. But you really like went next level. You said that you even will check bags with water in them.
Yeah, unfortunately, because I know what I know, I don't trust any water anywhere in this country. So if I'm traveling, I'll either take my water system with me, and hopefully none of my hotel owners are here. And what I'll do is I'll hook it up in my room and I'll make my own water. And so what I, I'll make my own water, and I also have a shower system, you know, so because as you so eloquently said, what we put on our body and in our body affects the balance of our body.
Okay. You know, well, so, I shower a lot. I take like 2-3 showers a day because I work out and I like to be clean. I mean, I'm not taking like lengthy showers, but I should definitely get a shower filter as well, even though someone told me they don't work that well.
Well, it you know, depends on which one you get. And I think one of the things that people have to understand, and we found one study, and what I always ask people, I said, hey, do you drink out of your tap? And most people in this country, especially in Florida or Texas, will say, no, I don't. And I said, I bet you do. And they said, no, I drink bottled water. And I said, okay, so then do you shower with bottled water? Well, no, that's different. That's the same line coming into your house. It's just coming through your shower now. You know, we found one study that, I mean, of course, there's debate. There's just like anything in life. There's a point and a counterpoint that said a 15-minute shower is the equivalent of drinking 8 glasses of water. Mm-hmm. And that really spoke to us when we were doing our water treatment systems to say, now we need to protect what we put on our body. So we have a filter that we came out with that also takes Legionella out of water, which is in the potable water in this country. You know, so we wanted to make sure that whatever's in there needs to come out because, you know, when I travel, like I said, some of the things that I see underneath an aerator on a faucet are just unbelievable. And when you think you're not, you know, drinking it, if you're in a hotel, you stick your toothbrush under there, you brush your teeth, or you wash your face, or you take a shower. So you're avoiding it for the most part in terms of consuming it. But our largest organ on our body is our skin. So if you're putting that same contaminated water all over it all the time, you know, you're not helping yourself.
So I know that there are certain regions of the country that, let's say, breast cancer is more prevalent, and they have, you know, kind of tied it to the water tables. Can you elaborate a little bit more on various diseases and hot pockets? And of course, Flint, Michigan, everyone knows that story. But can you tell us some stories about different regions in the country and different viral outbreaks or any kind of bacterial infections or prevalence of disease that has been correlated with the water, just so our listeners are a little bit more educated on geography and health concern issues?
Well, I think the main one is, you know, famous movie, the Chromium 6 in California, the Aaron Brockovich. You know, that's one of the most prevalent ones. And obviously the amount of cancer and the amount of people that died, you know, but it goes back to those corporations that do the dumping. You know, here in Florida, we always have, well, at least the last couple of years, we have the red tide, you know, the algae. And what we're told, that's because of some organizations that are dumping in the Okeechobee River that is being fined for that. So then that gets into the water table, and then it's a compound effect. So with the exception of the Chromium 6, the other ones are relatively small. But speaking of Flint, you know, Flint certainly made the news in 2014 with that issue around lead. But what a lot of people don't know is there's 3,810 cities in America that were worse than Flint at that time. They just weren't on the news.
Where can our listeners, I'm sure all of this information is available online. Where can our listeners go to learn a little bit more about their water?
What we normally do for a worst case scenario is we go to EWG.org. It's Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. And then you could put in tap water database. You could put in your zip code. And most of them are within the last year or two where they've done some water tests of that particular zip code. Now, they do the extreme test, a very expensive test, because it picks up some of the contaminants that a regular water test is simply not going to do because of the cost. And that gives us a worst case scenario of what we're dealing with. And when we look at that, we then understand why their standards are so much higher than the EPA, is because they're finding some things that everything you see in there, where it says the potential effects cause cancer, potential effects cause cancer. So that's what we do as a minimum, is look at it on there. Now, look, like I said, just like anything, point, counterpoint, there's some people that says, oh, EWG doesn't know what they're doing. But at the end of the day, when I look at that, anybody who's really looking out for the environment is somebody I want to listen to, versus, you know, whether it be a politician or an agency that just says, look, turn the other way, or just fix your own problem yourself. I'm just not interested in that. I want to know. So then at least I have an opportunity to do something about it, if as long as I know.
Exactly, because knowledge is power, and we all need to keep educating ourselves. If any of our listeners want to call in and ask Troy a question about water, you can call us at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Call in and ask Troy a question about water. What can we, like, what are next steps for people? Should they get some of those strips that I bought on Amazon and test their water that's coming out of faucets to see what's going on?
Well, the whole thing is to get active when it comes to, just like you say, your health. We're talking about Make America Healthy again. Healthy, not again.
I don't know. Look, I called it Make America Healthy because my goal is truly, with a 50% obesity rate and people suffering from a lot of physical and mental health issues right now, my goal is that all of America get healthier. And we do that through education, and then we put it into action. Again, like you said, with what we can control. We get to control the food that goes in our bodies. We get to control the media that we consume. We don't necessarily get to control our air, but if we can have a hand in controlling our water, that's really good news.
Well, what I would say is, as a minimum, it's a start. I mean, and you have to start with what you can afford. There's some municipalities, which you got to take with a grain of salt, that will test your water for you. But once again, depending on how that test comes out, depending on what results you actually see. So at least getting some drips is a start, but you have to take matters into your own hands to find out one simple thing: what's in my water? You know, and that's what you need to know, is as long as you know what's in it, we can help you take it out of it. And we're not the type of company that will just say our standard system fits everybody. Because to me, that's like you going to the doctor and he says, like, I'm going to give you the prescription. And you say, well, what's the diagnosis first? We don't give a prescription for your water until we do a diagnosis on it. And so I think minimally is find out what's in your water. I mean, if you're not drinking it, if you say, I don't drink out of the tap, I drink bottled water, you can educate yourself on bottled water between microplastics, the fact that most of it is stripped of all the minerals except for what they add back for flavor and taste. So it's really get yourself educated about what you're putting in your body as well. Is understand bottled water. When I started in this industry,
how long have you been doing this whole water thing for?
1988.
Oh, okay.
I started in the industry.
So you started in the industry before, like, bottled water wasn't even really a thing back then, was it?
Well, it was just starting to come around. Which, and I don't know what the impetus was for bottled water to come out. But I remember when the first bottles we got, like if somebody tossed you a bottle and it hit you in the chin, it would bust your chin. It was so thick. Now you think about a bottle of water now, barely touch it and squeeze it. And then it's crumbling in your hand, because as a bottler, you take as much cost out of the packaging as you possibly can. And the thinner that plastic, the cheaper it's going to be for you.
Your thoughts on distilled water? My dog had another cancer incident this year. Mm-hmm. And some of my more holistic practitioner friends from the supplement industry told me that I should only be giving him distilled water after that. Tell us about the distilled water process. And because I know distilled water is super cheap. You can get like a big plastic gallon for $1.49. What are your thoughts on distilled water from a health perspective and then also a bacterial perspective?
Well, from a health perspective, I just don't advocate anything for myself anyway that's going to take the natural minerals out of that water. Now, and when you, the distillation process of boiling, you take all those minerals out. You know, so when you're drinking demineralized water, well, then it goes into your body, then it's going to, you know, search your organs or something just to get some sort of minerals. And unfortunately, that's bad for you over time, because you're just drinking what we call dead water. And water does have life.
I've read that water has life. I have friends that spin their water. Do you know about that, water spinning?
I don't know anything about water spinning, but when people, sometimes you pray over your water, you talk to your water, because it also has memory, you know. So, but like I said, going back to your question, it's for me, when it comes to water, well, we don't say we purify. What we say is we restore. we restore water back to its original design when it was put here on Earth. It wasn't put here full of chlorine. It wasn't put here full of bacteria. It wasn't put in cysts or viruses. It wasn't put here then. So if it was that clean before, what we say is we can restore it. And our tagline is living water again.
So because, do you see your clients like who put in one of your systems? What do they start to report back to you after, let's say they're consuming this restored water for 30 or 60 days?
Well, the first thing, which is beautiful, they're drinking more water. Because unfortunately, when the water is bad, you only drink it when you're absolutely parched or thirsty or you're desperate. They're drinking more water. And so that's one of the things that, and then the fact that you're drinking more water, but now you're cooking with better water. Because once again, if you're cooking something that's involving water, like pasta or something like that, now you've got contaminated pasta, you know? So, and we found—
I think about that. Even if I like boil an egg, I use my filtered water.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because I mean, water is going to permeate into anything it's going to be on, you know? So one of the things that people have to understand is when you cook with that, for example, we found a study that says, and that we still don't know why people do this. So I've only done it because my mother taught it to me. If I'm cooking pasta, you always put a little bit of salt in the water.
I do the same thing.
Well, if you put salt in city water that's heavily chlorinated, you increase to a byproduct that's 250 times worse than chlorine just by adding salt to your boiling water for pasta. And when we saw that study, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, so there's so much education that needs to happen about just water in general. Stop taking it for granted. But once again, we have to make sure that when we consume it or if we're going to clean it, not all filters are created equal. And like I said, there are some that people say, well, I drink out of the refrigerator. Well, once again, that's what you can taste, see, and smell. What I'm concerned about, the things you'll never see, you'll taste, and you'll never smell them. They call it silent killers, you know, viruses, you know, bacteria. Now, the obvious one in bacteria, when there's a water main break, people say boil your water because of the E. coli potential. They say boil your water. But when you really think about that, how many people actually do it? They may just say, I buy bottled water for the next day or two. But that water that's sitting in the line coming to your house that you're not consuming, what do you think happens when they lift the boiled water advisory? What do you think happens to the residual that's in the line? It's still coming to you. You know, so we just have to be smarter about how we do those kinds of things. And like I said, we have to study this to understand that there is something you can do yourself, but don't wait for the government to fix the infrastructure. Don't wait for, in Flint, Michigan, don't wait for someone to say, come and fix the water system at the plant. When it's coming into your home for your body and your family, you need to take care of it because nobody's going to take care of you better than you.
So no one is going to take care of you better than you. And that's why we so advocate at a Make America Healthy for people to take control of their own physical and mental health. Mm-hmm. And again, that all starts with education.
Right.
So having worked for these large companies that are putting out a lot of water and own a lot of water, what are your thoughts about the corporatization of water worldwide?
I don't like it because it's strictly for one thing, profit. It isn't to make people healthy. Otherwise, you wouldn't strip everything out of it and put the very bare minimum back. It's because people see it as such an area of convenience. It's just easier to grab a bottle of water. And then, unfortunately, most of these corporations will just simply take advantage. I mean, I know here in Florida, we have, you know, hurricanes and we have these types of things. And I remember when Hurricane Sandy was around. Unfortunately, the first thing that goes at the grocery store is bottled water because people think if something happens, I got to have water. Or they're going to say you need to boil your water. And one of these times, one of the large box stores got smart. They were selling a case of water for $3.99 on the normal basis. But because people were buying 10, 15 cases at a time and not sharing the wealth with other people, they decided, look, we're going to make it fair for everybody. So instead of being able to buy a case, we're only going to sell it for $1 a bottle. And people raved about that. I'm like, think about it. It's $3.99 for 24. Now you pay $1 each for 24. So now you've just 6x'd the price of that case. And the company's like, well, you know, everybody can buy you know, just $2. Okay, here's two bottles. And it's just crazy. So unfortunately, it's back to corporate greed versus what do we need to do to have a healthier nation? And if anything, maybe take some of those profits and put it into some infrastructure systems, you know, or there are processes that will take everything out of that water that a reverse osmosis does and leave the minerals and not waste one. That's what we do.
And tell me about reverse osmosis systems, because I know there were all the rage about 10 years ago. I had several friends put like Kangen water systems in their kitchen, and then they would use like the runoff to put on their face because it had acid in it or something. They said it was good for their skin. Tell us your thoughts on reverse osmosis systems.
Well, when people ask us, do we do RO, reverse osmosis, I say absolutely not, and we never will. For one simple reason, they waste water. We were at a water conference, and the leader of the conference had said to us, it's like, all this crap about our RO systems wasting water, they only waste water when they're making it. Like, well, duh. You know, so the older systems were, and for the home, for every 1 gallon it makes, it wastes 3 down the drain.
Wow.
You know, the larger systems in these corporations could anywhere be from make one, waste 20. They're bigger systems. So, but that reject water is not usable and it's not drinkable and it's contaminated. So that's going into the water.
Maybe they should save it for all the golf courses.
Well, see, that's the thing is, that's when I say repurpose water, you know, you could recycle it and then say, use it for irrigation, recycle it, use it for toilet water, recycle it, use it for cleaning. I mean, so there's other ways to recycle your water, but as far as reverse osmosis is concerned, because it strips all the mineral and it strips everything, you know, with the exception of a few chemicals, it strips all the minerals out. And that's what bothers me is the demineralization, one, and two, the waste, because we're in a situation where even people call it a drought, we can't afford to waste one drop, but we continue to do that with these types of systems. And a lot of times people say, well, in order to get the salts out, well, if you're doing desalinization, get the salts out, okay, you may need to do reverse osmosis, but now we found another way that you still don't need to do that. But the thing is, you look at what it takes out, what's the next best system that says, can I still take all of that out without wasting one drop? And the answer is yes. But just people, it's easier to say, let me just strip everything. And if you're lucky, your system will have a remineralization filter that'll add some minerals back. If not, you're drinking demineralized water, which is not good for the body at all.
So for those of us who do have water systems in our house, I don't personally have reverse osmosis, but now I'm wondering, does my filter take out all the minerals? I give my dog the same water, and I remember that when I took him to the vet once, this was something kind of like missing in his system that felt like it had to do with the water.
Well, I mean, reverse osmosis is the one, those membranes are the ones that strip the minerals out. So if it's not reverse osmosis, it's not likely taking the minerals out. But most water filtration systems are designed to take specific contaminants out, you know, whether it be volatile organic compounds, whether it be chemicals, or there be metals, and that's where most of them stop. They do with the smell, taste, and odor. But the big thing, once again, is bacteria, cyst, virus. That's what we need to get out of our water. Because, you know, when we do reclaim water here in Florida, you know when they're doing the sprinklers, because it stinks like all get out. But that's the hydrogen sulfide in the water. It doesn't have to be that way.
Even I'll fill up my bathtub here in the state of Florida. Basically, it looks like somebody peed in my tub. The water is literally yellow.
Well, and because Florida, we're number two. We got the second worst drinking water in the country, second to only Texas. you have to, well, they feel like the only way to do this is to overchlorinate. So then, because the government is not allowed to send you bacteria-laced water. So if you put enough chlorine in there and says, I'm killing everything, well, you got a consumer on the end of that. And sometimes when you know they've added extra chlorine, you do a load of laundry and it smells like, well, everything in here just came out of a swimming pool. Or you turn it on and you get the yellow water, you know. But once again, they're trying to overcompensate for the infrastructure that's allowing bacteria to continue to grow because they can't get their heads around it. So the easiest and the cheapest way, just keep adding chemicals. And those chemicals, carcinogens, and they're continuously causing cancer. And it's just a constant compound effect of the same thing over and over. You know, so we try to make sure that we educate people on making sure that never, ever need to drink a chemical like chlorine, ever. That's when you're in a pool, you don't swallow the water. Of course, sometimes it goes in your mouth, your eyes, your nose, everything else, but you don't swallow it if you can help it. You know, and to me, drinking water is the same thing. If it's overchlorinated or time, or, you know, if you've been away or out, sometimes you turn a bathtub on and orange. Well, that's the corrosion that's in the line. But eventually, you do it at a hotel, eventually it'll turn clear, but you got to let it run for a while. But then you think, what's in that water I'm about to put on my body? If that was all brown, what's in that water?
So is there like a bigger picture system solution? I mean, you know, we're a country that's over 200 years old. We've got some pretty old infrastructures. Is there a solution that could be implemented from a system standpoint to clean up our water? Or because our systems are old and in many cities, you know, rather broken, is there nothing that we can do but take responsibility for ourselves and our own water?
Well, if you want action, you're going to have to take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah.
Because as much as people say we don't have $10 to put, because that's what the estimate was to change the whole infrastructure in the United States, we don't have $1 trillion to do that. But at least if my memory serves me correctly, when we were trying to revive the economy, we put a couple of trillion into the stock market and lost it. So that could have been the infrastructure.
Yeah.
So don't tell me we don't have it. It's just when you think about if we change the entire infrastructure country to get better water, what's the ROI?
Well, you know, let's face it, nobody's making money off of healthy people.
Exactly.
And all you need to do is kind of follow the money train to see why we're in the state of challenge that we're in the United States. I have a lot of friends whose family members have been affected by cancer. I've had friends that have had cancer. My own dog has had two cancer incidents. So it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that seems to be really increasing, unfortunately.
Well, when you think about it, at least growing up, I mean, when somebody had cancer, typically they were very old or they were heavy smokers. But look at the cancer numbers now. I mean, when I saw a 19-year-old young lady have breast cancer, it's like, that's a bit early. I mean, it's bad in general, but to have it that early was just almost unheard of. So the body dis-ease is, I mean, ADHD, you know, anxiety, all the different things that are tenfold what they used to be, asthma, all these things that are happening, you know, we have to look and say, what are the contributing elements to this? And my belief with, I don't have 100% proof, I believe that a part of it is the water we're drinking, the water we're putting on ourselves, you know, those types of things, is because that's the one thing that has changed dramatically. Is growing up, if you remember, we used to drink out of a hose when we're outside playing.
Yeah.
You would not do that to save your life today, to drink out of a hose. And now people think, well, I don't drink out of the tap, but you shower in it. So things that we don't do anymore, got to ask ourselves, what changed from I won't drink out of a hose today, but I did 30 years ago? What's changed?
Right. So tell us a little bit about what your organization does to help get clean water. We've got about 3 minutes to close.
Okay. What we do is we customize all our solutions for clean, safe, fresh water. So what we do, like I said, is we make sure we get a diagnosis before we give you a prescription. So we want to know what's in your water. And then just like you said, if somebody says, I want all the fluoride out, then we'll customize it for that. But if you just want the basics so that you can consume the water and have healthy water, then we'll do that. So we're not a typical water company that just says, we'll come in, we'll sit at your table, we'll put these color drops in and tell you all these bad things about water. What we'll make sure is that when you start drinking this water, you too become a water snob.
Well, I'm going to be hanging on the line with you after the show, talk about getting some new systems for myself. So if we'd like to save 5% on any of Troy's water filter products, you can go to shopnaiad.com. That's S-H-O-P, Naiad, N-A-I-A-D.com. Enter the code YOGAWATER22 and save 5%. And Troy, this has been super educational. I've been wanting to do a clean water episode for quite some time. So it was very fortunate that you and I should run into each other at the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Businesses Conference last week. And thank you so much for educating us all on the benefits of clean water. Just because it's clear doesn't mean it's clean. I will remember that. And thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. So thank you all so much into this episode of Make America Healthy. My name is Beth Shaw, and I'm the founder of Yoga Fit Training Systems Worldwide, the largest yoga mind body school in the world, offering yoga trainings, education on all things mind body, meditation courses, therapeutic yoga, yoga for back pain. We've got 150 different yoga educational programs and different mind body programs. You can go to yogafit.com to learn more about how you can take control of your physical and mental health with mind tools. You can also save 15% checkout by using the code VOICE22. We'd also like to thank our sponsors of the show, globalhealing.com, the makers of excellent quality, non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free supplements. And you can save 15% at checkout by using the code YOGAFIT. So we'd like to thank our sponsors today and thank Troy. Please find me on Instagram at Beth Shaw Health. You can also visit me at bethshaw.com. I am available for speaking opportunities, conferences, corporate wellness, and so much more. So until next time, everybody, stay healthy, stay safe, keep educating yourself, and let's make America healthy. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Namaste.
Thanks for joining us on Make America Healthy. We hope we've given you some tools you need to take back control of your health. Until next time, we wish you a healthy and wonderful week.